my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and when you get there, say amen. James chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Can you all hear me all right out there? Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm not going to argue with you then. Amen, amen, amen. Say, if you say you can hear me, I ain't going to argue with you. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Amen. Amen. One amen. Two, three, four. See, we might as well go ahead and just sing the song. Amen. Amen. Oh. Amen. Amen. Everybody sing. Amen. 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 I don't know where my drummer is when I need him. Amen. 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 James chapter 4, look at verse number 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And verse 10 says to humble yourselves. Do you all see that? This is part two of a message I started last week called Discipline for the Purpose of Godliness. Discipline for the Purpose of Godliness. And we see in James chapter 4 that James gave some advice to the Jews who were scattered. In other words, their ancestors after the exile did not return back to Israel. So they were scattered abroad. Another word, it's called dispersed. You may see a word when you study your history is diaspora. Okay, that means dispersed. They were scattered. And not only was the message for them then, the message is also for us today, you know. And the message was to them and for us on how we can have a closer relationship with God. Okay, he gave them advice on how to have a closer relationship with God. Because as I mentioned to us many, many times, and I say us because it works for me also, as I mentioned to us many, many times, I often hear people say that I want to have a closer relationship with God. I want to be closer to God. I want a closer relationship, okay? But the question is, what are we doing about it, okay? What are we doing about it? Are we just blowing hot air out of our mouths? Or is this just a desire that will always be a desire? You know, what are we doing about it? Because I mentioned last week that not only do we want to have a closer relationship with God, he also wants to have a closer relationship with us, okay? And he has proven it to us over and over, time and time again. Number one, he sent Jesus, you know, to die for us, so we could be reunited back to him after Adam and Eve sinned. Number two, he sent the Holy Spirit here to lead us and guide us into all truth. Number three, he answers a lot of our prayers. Is there anyone in here who has never gotten one of their prayers answered, at least one? Amen. So the fact that God sent Jesus, the fact that he sent the Holy Spirit, the fact that he answers our prayers tells us that he wants to have a closer relationship with us, you know. So he proved himself. But once again, the question is, what are we proving to ourselves to to convince ourselves that we want to have a closer relationship with God. Well, again, Brother James has helped us out in that area. Just like he helped or tried to help the scattered Jews out in the book. And if they followed his advice, or if we follow his advice, we will accomplish what we want to accomplish. We will have a closer relationship with God, but it requires that we do something. Are you all still with me? I want you to go back to the series of scripture, because this is what he told them. He told them to help them. He says, draw near, verse 8, near to God, and he will draw near to you. Because, see, if we do these things that he is telling us to do here, we will automatically submit to God. And once we submit to God, resisting the devil comes along with it. Are you all still with me? He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He says to cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. You know, Proverbs 6:16 talks about seven things. Proverbs chapter 6, start at verse 16, talks about seven things that God hates. If you want to find out what God hates, go read Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. And one of the things that God hates is our hands that shed innocent blood, okay? Hands that shed innocent blood. So he's telling him here to cleanse your hand. I gave you the illustration last week. You know, when somebody know that they are innocent, the first thing they do, I didn't do it. They throw their hands up. They throw their hands up. I didn't do it. You know, so he's telling them, you know, do not shed innocent blood. Cleanse your hand. And then he told them the next thing to do is to purify your hearts. He said, purify your hearts. Notice he did not say that God is going to purify your heart. He's telling us to do it, okay? He said, purify your heart. And then he said, do not be double-minded, okay? Because many people are double-minded. On Sunday, they want God. On Monday, they want the world. And Tuesday. And Wednesday. And Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, they go away. They want God again. Does not work that way. So he says, do not be double-minded. And then he tells us in verse number 10, he says to humble yourselves. Notice what he did not say. He did not say that God will humble you. He said to humble yourself, okay? Now, God will humble you, or he's able to do that, you know. But if we want to have a closer relationship with him, we need to do something sometimes. Are y'all still with me? We can't wait for him to do something all the time, because everything's already done in the spiritual. Our faith is what manifested into the natural. That's another lesson. Y'all still with me? So he gave us some things to help us to draw nearer to God. Because when we draw nearer to God, he would automatically, I like to break it down in syllables, he would automatically draw nearer to us. Are y'all still with me? And the only way that we will be able to have a closer relationship with God is that we must discipline ourselves, okay? We must discipline ourselves, and that's why the name of this message is called Discipline for the what? Purpose of what? Godliness. We must discipline ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Now, when we talk about discipline ourselves, we are showing a controlled form of behavior. Showing a controlled form of behavior, because that's natural or just natural discipline. See, there's natural discipline and there's spiritual discipline. And we can't get the two confused, okay? When we show a controlled form of behavior, we are disciplining ourselves. In other words, we are in self-control. Self-control. I mentioned last week in 1 Timothy, the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind means that we are in control, self-control. Are y'all still with me? That's discipline. But then there's spiritual discipline, and this is the reason why Christians cannot get closer to God, because they are not spiritually disciplined enough to have a close relationship with God. Because spiritual discipline requires that we do some things, perform some activities, you know, that would help us get closer to God. So spiritual discipline, let me read it to you. You will not find this book in the dictionary. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 88, amen. Showing a controlled form of behavior that promotes spiritual growth and spiritual health. Showing a controlled form of behavior that promotes spiritual growth and spiritual health. That's spiritual discipline. That's spiritual discipline. In other words, you are self, controlling yourself, you are in self-control to do the things that are required of us to achieve spiritual discipline. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Well, Pastor, you said the things that are achieved, how do I achieve it? How do I achieve spiritual discipline? I'm glad you asked that question. Once again, the way you achieve it is this. Romans chapter 8, verse 89. You will not find this anywhere. I can guarantee you. By performing actions or activities. By performing actions or activities that strengthens the spirit man. Okay? The real you. By performing actions or activities that strengthens the spirit man and that draws people closer to God by them being obedient to his word. That's how you achieve it. Let me tell you again. By performing actions or activities, okay? By performing actions or activities, okay? Y'all know activities is some things that you have to do. By performing activities that strengthens, not the natural man, not the worldly man, the physical man, but the spirit man, the real you. That strengthens the spirit man and that draws people closer to God because of their obedience to him. You will not find that in any book, in the internet, anywhere. But Word of Knowledge Ministries. Are you all still with me? And many Christians lack spiritual discipline because they are not doing the things that are required to promote spiritual discipline in their life. Many people, many Christians are just doing just enough just to get by. We are doing just enough just to get by, and we are wondering why so many things are controlling us in this world. We wonder why we are depressed all the time. We wonder why we are oppressed all the time. We wonder why we are PQRSTUV pressed all the time. Well, the reason for that is because our focus is in the wrong place. Instead of focus on the Word of God, where the Bible tells us when we're going through trials and tribulations to look to the hills which cometh our help, we're focusing on the situation. So we're doing enough just to get by, but how many of you know just to get by is not enough? It's not enough. We're doing just enough to get by, and they're missing out on the things or the activities that God has given to us to help us to develop a closer relationship with him. Are y'all still with me this morning? If we really want to have a closer relationship with God, we must train ourselves. Somebody say train ourselves. We must train ourselves. Train ourselves on what? Well, I'm glad you asked that question too. We must train ourselves on the activities that God has given to us, not going to give, but has already given, that he has given to us to train on. We must train on the activities that God has already given to us to train on. Are y'all still with me? So we can grow more spiritually, okay, and be better or have better spiritual health so we can grow towards godliness. That's the key. Godliness. Be more like Jesus. We must train on the activities because there is no way that I can get closer to God without spiritually disciplining myself. If I do not discipline myself spiritually, there's no way I can get closer to God. Are y'all still with me this morning? Because without being spiritually disciplined, I would never be able to achieve godliness. See, many people get godliness mixed up with holiness. And holiness have nothing to do with where they're cousins, godliness. See, because see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were chosen to be holy. 1:4. See, you were chosen to be holy. That word holy means set apart. In other words, you're not controlled by the world anymore. God before the world began, okay? You know, you were chosen to be holy. That's what God did that. But godliness is something that you have to strive towards. That means that for godliness, we have to do something. But people don't want to do anything. And I believe that many people, many Christians come to church on Sundays all over the world. But they still don't do the extra activities that God has given to us to help us to grow closer to Him. And Christians, listen to this, coming to church is not enough. But coming is better than not coming at all. Are you all still with me? Because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And you know, this came to me yesterday because I talked a lot about the coronavirus, people not coming to church stuff. And I truly believe this. It just came to me yesterday as I was studying. And I truly believe that a lot of people who stream online, I believe that they probably get upset with me. Because I always say that. I ain't even going back to work or not. He don't tell me what to do. But listen, all I'm doing is just doing my job. That's what Jesus did. He tried to bring people to God. So, yeah, that's my purpose. So it's not attacking anyone. All I'm trying to do is help. Are y'all still with me? And I think I told you either last week or the week before last about that song called Help, I Need Somebody Help. Well, God is our help. So I'm not attacking anyone personally, but I just know what the Word of God says. I'm just trying to help us because that's my job. But once again, I cannot achieve godliness without being spiritually disciplined. I cannot be spiritually disciplined without doing the things that are required to help me to grow spiritually. And if I do not do those things, I will never, ever, ever be able to have a closer relationship with God. I will continue to blow hot air out of my mouth, and whoever is the closest to me will get burned by it. It's just as simple as that. Are y'all still with me? It's just as simple as that. I must train myself. The tools, the weight machine, the whatever you want to call it, has been set before me. But if I do not get on it, it's not going to do me any good. It's the same thing. Spiritually, God has set everything before me, some activities to help me to do what I always say, I want to have a close relationship with God, to help me to have a close relationship with God, because as I draw near to God, He will draw near to me. And He has put things in place to help us. And if we do not train ourselves in these activities, hot air. Are y'all still with me? And don't you know that we do not have to train ourselves alone? Because that's why the Holy Spirit is here. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came to teach us, parentheses, how to train. Well, Pastor, the Bible doesn't say that. No, but it says He came to teach us. So to me, I don't know about you, but to me, if he came to teach us, that means that he came to teach me everything that the Word of God says that I need to learn. And if I need to learn to train myself, the Holy Spirit came to teach me how to train myself. I want you to go to John chapter 14 so we can take a look at this. John 14. Are y'all still with me this morning? This is part two, amen, John 14. I must train myself. I cannot depend on anyone else to train me. I must train myself in those activities. We're going to talk about a few of those activities today. That's why I continue to keep my eye on the clock. James chapter 4, John 14, I'm sorry. And when you get there, say amen. Look at verse number 15. We're just going to start there. Verse 15. This is Jesus talking. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's talking to the disciples. How many of you know that their comforter is already here on earth to lead us and guide us into all truth? He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And then he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I want you to go all the way down to verse number 24. Verse number 24. Jesus is still talking here. He said, he that loveth me. Let's go to 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he said, if he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. In other words, we will live in him. And then he says in verse 24, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then he says, who's going to come to help us to understand the things of God? He said, but the Comforter, which is the who? Do y'all see that? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, already sent him. He shall do what? Teach you what? All things. How many things? He will teach you all things and bring all things to your what? Remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, he will teach you all things. So what that tells me right there is that the Holy Spirit is not just here to give me goosebumps. Because people say, oh, I felt the Holy Spirit all over me. No, that's not the only reason why he's here. Y'all still with me? The Holy Spirit is here to teach me all things according to the word and to bring all things to my remembrance. I want to say it this way. The Holy Spirit is here to teach me how to train on the activities that God has given to me to help me to develop or have a closer relationship or draw near to him. And then the Bible said this. It said the Holy Spirit would also bring things to your remembrance. So listen, when I start getting lazy, when I make a confession that I'm going to start studying the word more, I'm going to start reading the Bible more, I'm going to start praying more, and then when I start to get lazy again, the Holy Spirit will bring back to my remembrance of the things that I need to be training on. You tell me the Holy Spirit is not here to help us. I don't know about you, but he helped me all the time. Are y'all still with me? He's here to train us. He will help us. But he's not going to do the training for us. We have to train our own selves. Are y'all still with me? But once again, in the process of training, the Holy Spirit is there to help us if we allow him to. But he's not going to force himself on us because God is not a forceful God. Are y'all still with me? The problem with us, why we can't train ourselves to be spiritually disciplined is because we focus too much on the wrong things and the wrong one. We focus too much on the world. What's going on in the world? My time is valuable to me. Well, guess what? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have any time. Because the Bible says that life is like a vapor. You could be here now and gone in the next split second. Might as well enjoy God while we're here. Be victorious on earth. Don't wait to go to heaven. But see, if we don't train ourselves on these activities, the Bible says submit yourself to God. Resist the who? It's hard to resist the devil. It's hard to resist him if we don't train on these activities that God has given to us to strengthen the spirit man. It doesn't matter what your rank is, how much money we have, what our job is, or how good we look when we look in the mirror. It does not matter. Satan is not prejudiced. He doesn't care. If we do not submit to God by training ourselves on the spiritual activities that he has already given to us, we can quote this scripture all we want. Submit yourself to God, resist it. We're just blowing hot air out of the other side of our mouth. But how many know James helped us? The Word of God is helping us. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to receive everything we receive from God. But once again, we focus too much on the world. The world's doctrine. The world's doctrine, and people who were one time faithful have turned away from the same faith that brought them to Jesus. Instead of adding to their faith, the Bible tells us to add to it. It didn't say God was going to add to it. It said tell us to add to our faith. There's a verse that says add to our faith virtue. So people say, God, give me more faith. No, no, no. God is not going to give you no more faith. Any more faith. He gave us enough faith to get started. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What you doing with your measure? What am I doing with the measure? Because the word is for me also. What am I doing with the measure? Well, I need to add something else to it. And God has given me something to use to add to my faith, and that's called the word of God, because the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if I do not add to my faith, I can quote that scripture all I want. Submit to God. Resist the devil. I'm not resisting anybody. But once again, thank God for the comforter. The one who came to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, and to help us to train ourselves to be spiritually disciplined. Are y'all still with me? I want to look at a scripture we looked at last week, and then I'm going to move on. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We focus on the wrong things. We must focus on the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are y'all all right this morning? Pastor always fussing. No, I'm not fussing. I'm just giving the word. I'm telling you, if I'm fussing, I'm fussing at myself too, because the word is for me also. Well, I'm fussing at me. See, I want everybody to be saved. And that's the reason why I tell people about Jesus. I don't care who's around. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Father. I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus. I don't care who's around. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You know, a young man called me. I'm not going to call his name. Called me 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I thought it was a prank call. I wasn't going to even answer the telephone because I didn't recognize his number. And a young man called me and asked me, he said, I said, hello. And I thought it was, you know who I thought it was. Amen. And young man asked me, is it okay if I come to church? Now, how many people have a faithful heart like that call you to ask you if they can come to church? I'm like, of course. I mean, I've never... Like Jesus said when something happened in the Bible, he said, I've never seen one so faithful. To call, most people don't want to see you because they think you're going to invite them to church. Well, the individual called me and asked me, could they come to church? I said, yeah, guess what? They came. Now, that's amazing to me. Because people these days, though, they figure out ways how not to go. But to call me and say, hey, listen, I want to know if I can come here. Sure. Are you all still with me? I believe that's somebody who really wants to get to know Jesus. Somebody who really wants to draw closer to God so God can draw closer to them. Are you all still with me? Like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe that if I do believe this, you know, not put anyone on the spot, but I believe if everyone in here will go witness more, there'll be more people in this church right now. Instead of depending on them to look at the billboard. Because we mingle around people all the time, but how many times we bring up Jesus? I'm moving on. Y'all still with me? I'm moving on. Look at what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Are y'all still with me? I haven't lost anybody yet. Get back with me. Amen. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Just get back to church. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, these days, some shall do what? Depart from the faith. Giving heed to things of the world. Speaking lies, forbidden to marry, and not eating certain foods. It's the word of God. People with same faith that they use to get saved, they leave it alone. In other words, instead of going closer to God, they're getting closer to Satan. They don't even realize it. But they still come to church. Like I said, there's more to it than just coming to church. But at least they come. Are y'all still with me? And then look at what Paul said to Timothy. That's who he's talking to here. He said in verse number 7, he said, refuse that mess. He said, but refuse profane and old wise fables. Y'all still with me? And he said, and exercise yourself rather unto what? Godliness. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profit little. But godliness is profitable and into all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And then he said, this is a faithful saying. Y'all still with me? He said to exercise, that word exercise means to train. Train yourself in godliness. And I gave you another Ron chapter definition last week. I told you that exercise is training by activities. Training by activities that require an effort. Y'all got that? An effort. Sometimes people don't want to put forth the effort to train in spiritual activities. Train by activities that require an effort to improve health and fitness. That's why people go to the gym. They're training. They're exercising. They're putting forth an effort. They're putting forth an effort to improve their health and fitness. I told you that last week that godliness means you're totally focused on God. We're self-centered in nothing else. In other words, we're trying to be more like Jesus. That's godliness, more like Jesus. But I told you before, holiness is something we're chosen to be. Godliness is something we need to work towards. But see, once again, it's obvious that Paul is not talking about exercising physical, because he said that profits little. He didn't even put too much emphasis in that. But he said, exercise thyself rather into godliness, godliness, because it's profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and which is to come. In other words, when I exercise myself in godliness, I get stronger spiritually, and it lasts. And when the devil comes to try to attack me or make me feel down or bad about something or try to steal my joy or steal my peace, I say, excuse me, Satan, but I don't have time for you right now, because right now I'm exercising myself in godliness. I know you're going to come back, but I won't have time for you then either. Because I'm trying to draw closer to God so he can draw closer to me, and I will not let anything in this world stop me from performing those activities that God has given to me that are required to exercise myself in godliness. Are y'all still with me? Because to exercise yourself in godliness is to train by performing activities that require an effort to improve our spiritual health and our spiritual fitness. That's the difference between godliness and just regular exercise. Spiritual health and spiritual fitness. And God has given those activities to us to help us and to get closer to him so he can get closer to us. Now I want to talk about just three. I told you last week, I want to talk about three of those activities that God has given to us to help us. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, prayer. Number three, worship. There are many more, but I want to concentrate on those for the last 24 minutes. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, prayer. Number three, worship. Are y'all still with me? Let's talk about the Word of God first. The Word of God is, I call it, the book of faith. Because the reason why I call it the book of faith is because in Romans chapter 1, Paul said that this is the word of faith that we teach. It was going around spreading the gospel. He said, this is the word of faith that we teach. So I call the Bible the book of faith. Are y'all still with me? There's a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that says we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. Okay? The word walk by means to live by faith. Okay? I told you that the Bible is the word of faith. I like to say it this way. I live by the word and not by what I see. I walk by the word because faith in the word is synonymous. Okay? You can't have one without the other. So I walk by faith. I walk by the word and not by my feelings or what I see. Are y'all still with me? We also looked at a scripture on Wednesday night in Ephesians, you know, where the Bible says we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are unseen is eternal. Well, Pastor, how do I look at the things that are unseen? Well, the way I look at the things that are unseen is through the eyes of faith. Are y'all still with me? In other words, through the eyes of the word. Regardless of what I see, what I hear, what it looks like, I need to qualify it with the word. And listen to this. If it does not line up with the word, I need to put it in the trash can. I cannot entertain it if it does not line up with the word. See? But in order to find out whether or not it lines up with the word, I have to spend some time in the word, because spending time in the word is a spiritual discipline. It's one of the things that will help me to discipline myself spiritually. It's something that God has given to me in order to do that. Are y'all still with me? See, the word of God is not just a school book. It's not a school book. It's not just for Wednesday and Sunday. And I believe that many people get home on Sunday, throw the Bible on the shelf, and don't see it again until Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever night they have Bible study. And then when it's over, they throw it on the shelf again and grab it on Sunday. It's not a school book for Wednesday, Sunday. The Word of God is a book for life. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the Word. And I have to train myself in the Word because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach me and guide me. If I don't do it, it will not get done. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Talking about the word. Colossians chapter 3. And when you get there, say amen. Y'all all right this morning? Colossians chapter 3. Amen. Can't can't find it. Somebody must have cut it off my Bible. Amen. I must train myself in the Word. I can't just show up on a Sunday and that's it. I have to get in this thing day and night. Anyway, are you at Colossians chapter 3? Look at verse 12. Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. He says here, put on therefore, as God's chosen people. I know King James says the elect of God. It means God's chosen people. Put on therefore, as God's chosen people, holiness and beloved. Bowels of mercies mean compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. Notice he said this is something we need to do. He didn't say God was going to do it. He said we need to put it on, or we need to live this kind of life. And then he says here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you forgive them. And then he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. Do you all see that? And then he says, and let the peace of God rule where? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to thee which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then he said in verse 16, he's telling us the things to do in order to get closer to God. Okay? He says, let the word of Christ, or the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How much? Richly. Or the message of Christ, I think NIV says message, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Don't you know spiritual songs are songs that are sung from the heart, not just singing because it's on the screen. It's songs that are sung from the heart. Y'all still with me? He says, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your what? Heart. I just told you that. Sing a song from the heart to the Lord. Once again, verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. How many of you know the word of God cannot dwell in me richly unless I put it in me? And how many of you know when someone is rich, they have a lot of whatever it is that they're rich with? That means that as a child of God, I need to have a lot of the word on the inside of me. And guess who needs to put it in me? I do. And how do I get it on the inside of me? By training myself in it. By not just picking it up on Wednesday and Sunday, but daily. Are you all still with me? Amen. Let's move on to another one. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Many of us are familiar with this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to show you something here. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I must let the word of God dwell in me richly. When I do that, I am training myself. I'm training myself. Joshua chapter 1. Can you find it? Amen. There it is. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. We know that Joshua replaced Moses. So Joshua had a major responsibility. And how many of you know that responsibility that he had, he couldn't do it alone. He needed some spiritual strength. And look what God told him. He said in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, and I swore unto their fathers to give them. In other words, he had the responsibility of dividing. Can you imagine have you ever dealt with a whole lot of people? Have you ever dealt with 10 people? And at least 3 of them rebel. It's always somebody in the crowd. I don't want to do that. I think we should do it this way. They never want to lead. They never want to follow, but they want to lead when they're not in the leadership position. And then when you put them in there, they don't want to do it. So imagine Joshua have to make sure that everybody get what they're supposed to have when they get to the promised land. That's a big responsibility. But God told him just be strong. And then he told them here in verse 7, only be there strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. He told him to do everything that Moses did. And then he said, don't turn from the right and to the left. And then he told him how he would be able to do the things that he needed to do. He needed some spiritual strength, and God showed him how to get that spiritual strength. Look at what he told him here. He said here, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate how often? Notice it didn't say on Wednesdays and Sundays. It said that you need to meditate in that word day and night. Not just on Wednesday and Sunday, but day and night. Why? Because he needed some spiritual strength. So he needed to continue to develop the spirit man. He said, you should, that's a message, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And he said, then and only then, you shall make your way prosperous. Notice who the word says. God said he's going to make his way prosperous. He didn't say that he was going to make Joshua's way prosperous. He said by Joshua staying in that word day and night, he would make his way prosperous. Are y'all still with me this morning? He thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Not just success, but good success. Why? By training himself in the word. And many of us, notice I always say us because the word is for me also because I don't want people to think I'm talking about them. Many of us do not spend time training ourselves in the word, the book of life. And many people are too, please forgive me, but this term, this is the new norm. I hate to hear that. No new norm. Listen, the word of God has not changed. People, this is a new norm. Things will never be the same. Well, look, yesterday won't be the same because it's gone. But we get wrapped up in this new norm deal. You better stay in this word of God. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. The world has not changed. It's the new norm. I'm not going back to church. I'm going to stay home and stream online because streaming online is the new norm. No, you don't stream online. You not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. If you're in the area, you come to the house of the Lord. Satan wants to keep you away from people because he knows you can encourage somebody. He don't want you to encourage anyone. Are y'all still with me? No new norm. It's the word of God. And we have to spend time in the word of God and do what the word of God tells us to do in order to grow spiritually so we can be able to achieve spiritual discipline. You all still with me this morning? I want to look at another scripture, then I'm going to move on. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. When you get there, say amen. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they just thought they just knew everything. They were religious people. And they were always trying to catch Jesus in a trap. And he always had words for them to set them back, to remind them, listen, I'm the Lord of Lords. Are y'all still with me? And he was speaking to them, and they said to him in verse 24, saying, Master, Moses said if a man die having no children, his brother should marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. They always came up with stuff. And then it said in verse 26, likewise, the second one died also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of the woman died also. Therefore, verse 28, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. I bet Jesus was probably just shaking his head. He probably said, man, these rascals can come up with some stuff. Look at what Jesus said to him. He said, Jesus, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. That word err means wander or stray. Not knowing the what? Scriptures. Nor the power of who? God. He said, you don't know the scriptures. You're wandering. And many of us do not know what the word says because instead of spending time in it, we are wandering around, straying around. He said, you error. That's what error means, error. You're in error. In other words, he told them, you don't know what you're talking about because you don't even know what the scriptures say. And many of us are in that category. Why? Because we don't spend time in the word. It's a spiritual discipline. If I want to get close to God, I need to spend more time in the word, day and night. Let's talk about prayer. I don't want to leave anything out. Let's talk about prayer. Listen to this, Christian. Prayer is something that will help us to get a closer or draw a near to God so he can draw near to us. And to not to pray is not an option. For Christians, not to pray is not an option. Not an option. And for us Christians here at Word of Knowledge, if we don't want to pray, just come to intercessory prayer. Somebody going to pray for you. Every Sunday at 9:00, you stand, just say amen. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not an option because prayer is a communication system between God and man. That's how we communicate with God, through prayer. It's not an option. And we cannot just, down and lay me down and see you, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. No. It's not an option. We have to pray. And we have to spend time praying, not just one day, but daily. Just like in the Word. In Luke 18, Jesus said, man should always pray and not faint, give up, lose heart, or get discouraged. Let's take a look at that for the sake of time. Luke 18, we have to pray. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time in prayer. Have a good time. Spend time in prayer. Talking about some things, activities. These are activities that God has given to us to help us to grow more spiritually so we're able to discipline ourselves towards godliness. We have to spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Are you at Luke 18? Amen. Perfect timing. It's a parable that Jesus spoke. The Bible says in 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always, somebody say always, not just when I want something. Men are always to pray and not faint. That word faint, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to be weak or to fail. NIV says give up. Men are always pray and not give up. And then he talked about this parable. Listen to what he said. He said, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. In other words, she was asking him to grant her justice. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, and I don't respect man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, what he said was that woman is getting on my nerves. She keeps coming to me, telling me to avenge her. Listen, I don't want to hear that. She's really getting to me. I'm going to go and do it just so she can stop asking me. You ever did anything because people just keep asking? You'd be like, yo, just go ahead and take it. Y'all still with me? And look at what Jesus says in verse number 4. He says, and the Lord said, verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. Notice he put some emphasis on the unjust. Because God's a judge, but he's not an unjust. He's just. He said, hear what this unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own chosen, elect chosen, which cry day and night unto him, which cry when? Day and night, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays, but day and night unto him, though he bear along with them or keep putting them off. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's a question that Jesus asked. What God is saying here is this. Continue to come to me in prayer. Continue to pray day and night. Now, listen to this. This is what he's not saying. He's not saying, you know, and Jesus just gave an illustration. He gave an illustration of the woman, you know, and the judge. Jesus is not saying, keep asking me for the same thing over and over. Lord, bless my dog. Lord, bless my dog. Lord, bless my dog. Listen, you already didn't ask him to bless your dog. Communicate with him about something else. See, people misunderstand the scripture. They think they're supposed to keep praying for the same. You don't need to keep praying for the same thing. If you ask God for it once, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It just depends on how you go to him. You go to him slowful, Lord, answer my prayer. I'd be like, what? What you say? The moral of the story, we need to continue in prayer, because prayer is an activity that God has given to us to help us to draw nearer to him. But we have to train ourselves, because people don't like to pray. You know, there's a couple of other verses in the Bible. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible says, when you pray. Jesus said, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, say. In other words, if you're not saying, you're not praying. That's another lesson. If you're not saying, you're not praying. If you're doing this, it's just a moment of silence. You need to say something out of your mouth. He talked about in Matthew, do not pray like the hypocrites. He said, when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites. And many people misunderstand that scripture. When Jesus said pray with long prayers, there's nothing wrong with praying a long time. But what's coming out of your mouth? See, he said, when you pray. So there is no option. There's nothing that says if you pray. No, he says, when you pray. And once again, James 5:16 says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can look at it when you get home. That word effectual, fervent prayer means efficient, energetic, and earnest. You're praying with efficiency. In other words, we're not just saying something babbling out of the mouth. We're praying from the heart. Because God wants to communicate with us. The word and prayer, those are activities that God has given to us to train on, so we can grow spiritually and to be able to spiritually discipline ourselves to continue to do those things. Not just to do them on Wednesday and Sunday, but to continue to do those things. Continue. I mentioned last week in Hebrews, the Bible said discipline. At first, it may seem like it's hard. But as long as we continue to stay whatever it is, it gets easy and we receive the reward. Are you all still with me? I'm almost done. Let's talk about worship, and I'll be done. A lot of people don't understand what worship is. They think you're just singing songs on Sunday. No, that's singing songs is not just worship. Worship is not a part of singing songs. Singing songs is a part of worship, but that's not only what worship is. That word worship means to show reverence or a deep respect for God by giving him his worth. By giving him his worth. And worship is, once again, it's not just singing songs. Worship should be a lifestyle. A lifestyle of recognizing God for who he is. Reverence. Respect towards God. Y'all still with me? Reverence toward God. My time is running out. Let me show you some examples. Go to Revelation chapter 4. It's a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle of the rich and famous. It's a lifestyle. Everything that the Bible tells us to do, God gives us example in here. It's a lifestyle. Are you there yet? Amen. Revelation chapter 4. This is John when he had his revelation of Jesus Christ on the island of Patmos. For the sake of time, I'm going to go right to the scripture. You can read this chapter when you get home. He says in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night. There's day and night again. Day and night. That means we should worship him day and night. He's talking about day and night again. God told Joshua, you shall not let the word, but you should meditate on it day and night. Jesus said we should always pray. That means we should pray day and night. Not just on a certain day, but day and night. Now, he's talking about worship day and night. Do you all see that? He said, and the four beasts had each of them six wings, verse 8 again. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's a song. And he's got the song from the word. Day and night, worshiping God, giving him reverence for who he is, giving him his worth for who he is. Look at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Look at verse number 15. We'll go right to it. Therefore are they before this throne of God, talking about angels, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more. Once again, emphasis is on day and night. Day and night. Not just day, but day and night. Are y'all still with me? Go to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Talking about worship, reverence, deep respect for God. Look at verse 11. And I beheld, John talking, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice. In other words, they didn't care who heard them. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Adoration. Respect. In Matthew chapter 20, when the disciples were in this place and Thomas was not there, and when after Jesus, you know, after his crucifixion, when he was headed back up to heaven to sit on the right-hand side of the Father, the disciples told Thomas, they said, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas said, well, unless I should see the nails in his hands or, you know, the hole in his side, I will not believe. And then all about that time, Jesus walked in. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. That's a form of worship. So you don't have to be in heaven. We can do it right here. My Lord, my God, because he reverenced God, he gave him worth for who he is. It's worship. Not just singing songs. It is a lifestyle. Are y'all still with me? Stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. It is our responsibility to discipline ourselves spiritually. Because the goal of every Christian should be to be like Jesus. In other words, we should discipline ourselves for godliness. If we do not do it, it will not get done. I can say all day long, till I'm blue in the face, I want to have a closer relationship with God. I want to draw nearer to him so he can draw nearer to me. But if I do not discipline myself spiritually, it will never happen. And the only way I can discipline myself spiritually is I must use the spiritual disciplines that God has given to me, or train myself in the activities that God has given to me to help me to grow spiritually. To help me to grow spiritually so I can discipline myself by not seeing the word is a nuisance, but seeing it as this is my lifeline. I have to spend time in it. Not seeing prayer as something that I just do when I want something, but having a communication with God all of the time. I have to worship him all of the time. And Christians, listen to this. This word is for me also. Because when we spend time in the word, we spend time in prayer, you know, when we spend time in worship, you know, it's we can hear from the Holy Spirit clearly. And I realized a few days ago, I need to spend more time in the word. I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to spend more time in worship. And let me explain to you why. I lost my telephone, my iPhone about 3 days ago, something like that. Lost. And about 2 days prior to that, I heard a voice say, back up your phone. Back it up. And, you know, we get so busy, we're like, oh, whatever. And don't you know, I lost my phone. And I lost some things. I got another one, but I lost some things because I didn't back the phone up. Now, it may seem like it's a small thing to you because you didn't lose your phone. But that voice said, back up your phone. I was like, well, I do it tomorrow. I'm here to tell you, this is a spiritual warfare, and it is real. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And in order for us to hear him clearly, every time he speaks, not just sometime, but every time, we must discipline ourselves. We must spiritually discipline ourselves. We must become spiritually disciplined. And once again, the only way we can do it is that we must train ourselves in the activities that God has given to us to help us to grow spiritually, for our spiritual fitness and our spiritual health. And I mentioned three today, the word, prayer, and worship. There are many, many more. In order to find out what they are, we have to spend time in the word. Amen? Amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise because he's worthy.